Okay. Generally, we've been talking about dealing with your brother in the previous chapter. We're dealing about the other person, interacting with the other person. And how ugly that can get sometimes, and how wonderful it's promising to be at other times. So we're motivated because we want to love, we want to join, we want to share. Please, can we just share? Can we do this together? Everything we do is for the better of both of us? Yes, let's do that. And then the time sets in and details set in. And see, it's just when you dry your tennis shoes in the microwave, it stinks, okay? I'm not saying this is bad about you in particular, but we have a problem in the kitchen now.
You did that!
yeah, you did that again! Yeah. And then, you know, things color differently. And then in the world now, the special relationships, the unspoken agreement gets pressed on what you're supposed to do, they're supposed to do as your daughter, or as your lover, or as your friend, or as your boss, or as your employee. There's certain things over time supposed to happen. And the ego finds a way to comment and judge on that relationship. And you probably look okay. And they are the problem. God, if they would just listen to you more often, things would be better. So we're dealing with that kind of dynamic. And tonight, I would like you to look at an aspect of that that is probably the most difficult one. And it's you. Let's look at you. Let's just get simple. Try to pick a situation in your life for our meditation where you've got somebody in your life it's been a difficult journey. It's been difficult communicating, and that they disappointed you in some way. You can get yourself in that situation. And let's spend a few minutes while we sort of meditate our way through your part of that. So, to put a word on it, would be your gift. We did gift a few weeks ago. This is a little different. This is now your gift. Let's look at this. In relationship, put yourself in a situation. Remember, recall, when you're dealing with somebody in your life, and it ain't all roses. Because something they were supposed to do or shouldn't have done, they did. And you seem to have to deal with it. You have an idea on how they were in the past, and that was okay. They're not that way now. And it's not making you happy. They should have, or they shouldn't have ever done what they did. And what I want you to look at now, honestly, at your gift to them. What was the arrangement that you honestly were willing to give them? Step back and look and get really honest. Although you expected from them, honestly, how much was your ego desiring to give them? Your gift. back when it was all roses and good, were you to be called on to do something? And how much were you volunteering without being called on? Really, what was your gift? What was your intended gift in the relationship? There's a huge value to you in surrendering to your honesty. Because everything that you do, what you can actually afford to do, to say, to be, to commit to, what you can actually afford, rather than wish you could afford, to say, to do, to be, to promise, to commit to. This is a way to know yourself and to know others. And you can start to join. Let go of the lies of perfection, please. There's a gift waiting for you in this honesty. There's a gift even bigger you shall give the other in this honesty. Relationships are our way out, or they are prison bars that will hold us in. It's so important for us to think about this. Anybody feel like commenting about your gift? Honestly, it's pretty personal.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you're talking about at the time that this event happened.
Yes.
What was my gift then?
Actually, no. I'm talking about your whole attitude toward this person.
Okay, good. Now I'm willing to go.
Good.
So I have a friend who has lots and lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And she one time said to me, "Luann, why don't you go and have all the fuzz taken off your face?"
Only a friend can say that. Right? You know how close they are.
Too honest.
And we've known each other for 40 years, and I've loved her the whole time. So when she said that, I thought, how come she doesn't realize that I do not have enough money to go have fuzz taken off my face every week or so? And I have a lot of hair face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Turning into a man, actually.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
yeah.
That's what I thought. And then I thought, but I'm not going to say anything. So as I was doing this, I was thinking my gift was not to say anything because that might just make her feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
However, in that gift was a reluctance, which is still there sometimes, of not forgiving her for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She whom you love and loved and want to love in the future, and yet there's that.
Yeah. And there's that.
There is a judgment.
Yeah, because the judgment for me is, how come she doesn't think in terms of what other people are capable of? Instead of what she would do.
Yeah. Yes. And how about your gift to her? How much were you willing to be sensitive to what she's capable of?
I keep thinking, well, she's had money for a long time. She's very generous in lots and lots of ways. I still can't forgive her.
How interested are you throughout all these years that you've known her, in really seeing from her eyes, just the way she sees?
I think that I have basically I do that automatically with people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I know is she had a childhood in which she didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
What I know is she's very generous.
Mm-hmm.
What I know is probably this is what she wanted.
I'm hearing her, she. What about you?
In terms
of how much of you has been available over the last 40 years to actually see through her eyes and actually be a spokesman for her?
I thought that's what I was just doing.
I think the sentence should start with I instead of her.
Oh, okay.
At least for me to understand.
I can say, I understand. Is that what you mean? I give her understanding about where she's coming from.
Yes, I hear you.
I don't know other than that. That's why I said I have a question. I don't know.
And this is a very difficult thing to discuss, and we only meditated for 10 minutes, or 15. So,
oh, really?
And I could tell people were still way in when I rang the bell. So that was a bit.
Another
20 on that would have been appropriate. What did you touch?
Basically, it's a hard thing because I'm just now getting where you can see it, but at some point you start noticing that everything someone's doing when they're always doing this attack and whatever, that it really is a call for love.
Yes.
That, whoa. So what made me shift a little bit is when I realized, here's the terrorist, he's out there, he's going to blow these people up. Because he's saying, these people are my problem, it's out there, you are my problem, I got to get rid of you to be loved. So he blows everybody up, because you're bad people. He really believes that. And the good guy's over here is going, look at these people doing, look at these bullies, these people, that's the problem, they're just being bullies, and I'm doing good, or they're pointing the problem out there, no matter what's the good or the, each, both directions is insane. The problem's in here, I can find my own little issues, my errors, and when I see the person, I have to see that, the God self in these people. I'm looking for that peace that's loving, and I got to stop 100% judging it.
Judging?
Yes.
What a convenient thing to do in a situation like that when they're so different from you, you could just judge.
Yeah.
And then you could summarize and know whether you're safe or they're good or they're bad or you should spend more time with them or you shouldn't spend any more time with them. This is it. That's enough. Well, how convenient is judging? Yeah, good catch.
Yeah, and that's just, when I start noticing, oh my God, I'm judging like crazy. And then now it's like, something happens. Oh, I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to forgive everything. I'm going to forgive the cold, my pain. I'm going to forgive everything. And you start seeing it, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Could anybody?
It's so different.
In such a short time.
Yeah.
We really could have sat for a lot longer on that, but it would have been silent. Yes.
One
of my question is, could anybody took the mirror on and be really honest and touch how much you were personally available? Was it I hope they keep doing exactly what I've agreed they will do forever and they didn't. Is that the relationship? Don't ask me to change. I just want you to do everything you said you would, pretty much, because we've had this experience together. And here's what I think you should do and how I think you should be. And I'll be happy if you don't change.
Andrew, I've had it. I'm getting to the point where that's happening, but it's really difficult to explain it.
I know it. I'm having a hard time myself. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So I have a long-term friendship, and in that friendship, I always felt that there was a very high level of trust.
Uh-huh.
And in that trusting was a sense of safety.
Safety.
And the assumption on my part and theirs, I can't speak for their part, which is part of the gift I got from this, there was a situation, communication that came up when I was making a judgment I wasn't aware that it was a judgment. And the response I got was a reaction that, mind you, this is a 45-year relationship.
45 years, yes.
That I was betrayed, that I betrayed them.
Yes.
And it was very hard for me to not go into victim.
Yes.
I did at one point go into victim.
Yes.
How could you do this? How,
yes.
You know, we have these years, we have this.
Yes, perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
But it was sort of a false thing.
It was sort of a false thing. Look at you go. Look at you go.
It was sort of a false thing because
yes.
It was my creation.
Yes.
Of this person in our relationship.
Right, yes.
And
you filled out a whole contract of how they should be
of how
for all those years.
Not just how it was, yeah.
And it was lived and experienced by you just the way that you wrote down.
And
in your,
until this moment.
Until that moment.
Mm-hmm. And this moment, I'm trying to get to the gift here.
That's good because we can tie into what you said. There was a moment that didn't fit. There's a moment of how could somebody, 45 years of devotion, ever getting closer and more trusting, utter the words that you could have betrayed her? That's impossible. Why don't you know that's impossible? And yet, they're so convinced.
It was very real for them.
Yes.
And I have to attribute my awareness.
Yes.
That I actually reacted. I saw the call for love from both of us.
Very good.
And I think the gift for me was that I was placing the trust that I thought was there outside of myself.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And in them.
Ah, very good.
And not in me.
Very good. Very
so,
good, Michaeline.
That's what...
So your gift in during this relationship was you gave them trustworthiness.
Yes.
And that they were the trust in the relationship. And you would receive the benefits of that.
Right.
Very good.
And that wasn't.
And it turns out it wasn't
was
not true. There was an illusion going along. And maybe it was for all 45 years.
And that really was the...
That hurts a bit.
Yeah. And there's... I have a sense of gratitude about it because it shifted my whole perspective on all my relationships.
All your relationships, how?
That they're a reflection of my relationship with myself.
Yes, yes. And they're experienced and maintained by your thoughts about them.
Right.
Not about what's going on in the other person's head.
Right.
Oh my goodness, that's big news. That's really big news. Because in the Course in Miracles, one of our biggest lessons that I paraphrase is this: seek no further than your own mind.
Wow.
The more you try to reach into somebody else's mind, the ego's gotcha. Separation is being proven and idolized. The illusion's been caught. Yes, David.
Took a lot from the last week about, you know, weaving these tales. We talked about, and I'm separated, and it looks like it's permanent. Well, it is. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing co-parenting stuff, and I've stopped attacking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That stopped about 6-8 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually good. You know, that part's good.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen a lot of change. First, I was angry,
mm-hmm.
filled with fear, and anxiety, mm-hmm. self-hate.
Yeah.
anger, frustration, mm-hmm. lashing out, mm-hmm. followed by a love poem, followed by lashing out.
Mm-hmm.
But in the co-parenting session with the therapist for the first time just yesterday, we came around to divided family, just, you know, in the context of global. And I said, well, first off, you know, I just feel like it's an abomination and somewhat criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, you know, which is an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, necessarily in the room was construed as such.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was kind of just throwing it out there. That, you know, when you break up the family like that, mm-hmm. you know, it just shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we moved on in a very civil manner about, mm-hmm. you know, how we're working with the kids, because we work really well with the kids. When mm-hmm. we're talking about the kids, there's no conflict at all. Mm-hmm. We're like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we agree about the kids, and if we don't agree, we talk until mm-hmm. we do agree.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the context of the whole, I'm doing much better, mm-hmm. but I realized that I scripted the contract for exactly who I wanted her to be. What you've just been talking about was, I just thought that she was this person that was going to be this way for me all this time, and then when she said she was unhappy, I was so surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just talking to her about an hour ago and apologizing, and I said, you know, yesterday when I said it was an abomination and criminal, I need to tell you, I don't think that about you. I that was in the context of the whole, and I know that you were sad and that you needed to do what you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, and I accept it. And, you know,
yes.
And I know that you feel that
yes.
it was worse to be there in the house for the kids than to mm-hmm. stay.
Yes. So now what he's talking to us about, he's showing us very personally a shift in perception. He is seeing through her eyes.
Well, there it is.
Huge.
And see, and I never did that. And so she said, well, you know, you had to know what was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I never listened to her. And that was her big complaint.
Yes.
And I thought we were super happy because she would do things like come up and rub my head. And, you know,
yes,
and kiss me on the forehead and feed me.
Yes,
and,
yes.
So I just figured all those gestures of love were, that was it. That
uh-huh.
was the contract we had formed.
Yes.
Exactly what
yes.
you're saying, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
And
when we look back, we see a few clues. We can see a few clues, maybe, if we're really honest, and look back, we see a few clues in the relationship where things were confusing and we just overlooked it.
Confusion.
I just see things so much more clearly now. I look back and it's just, all those things were just such flags. And it just kills me that, you know, it's too late.
Yes.
That part just really kills me.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, that I can just, you know, one of the things the Course has taught me is that's gone.
Uh-huh.
It's an illusion.
Yeah.
All I can do is, you know, walk the walk. And,
uh-huh.
And what I'm learning in here, too, is that unconditional love is available to me, for me.
Yes.
I accept it and get out of the ego.
Yes, yes.
I'm not good at it yet,
yep.
but I can get a little
but
trickle of it.
There is another way. I hear you saying there is another way.
I can get a little trickle of it every day, you know,
uh-huh.
maybe a little.
Yes.
And if I do that, you know, then I kind of walk the walk. And
yep, that's
and,
it.
And it makes it easier.
You bet.
And I am easier with her.
Mm-hmm.
She can see the communication
yes.
better.
Yes.
But I still future cast, you know, get this dream that she'll come back in 5 years.
Yes. But now also what he said was he's now done it. He's lovingly looked through her eyes and saw honestly what she was saying and going through and how she responded to what he said. He did not do that for a lot of years. He did not do that for a lot of years. In fact, he didn't think he needed to do that for a lot of years. He did not have this gift for her. He did not have this lilies that he could offer this beautiful gift of understanding. For her, it wasn't actually possible back then to let you off the hook. It wasn't possible for you to do that. It is now, but it was not possible then, so you're off the hook. But still, let us be aware of what gift we're giving. Yes, Mark.
A few years ago, it was around a month before Thanksgiving, and you know, I'm 65, so for a lot of years my brother and I, we would have Thanksgiving together. We still do. But I hadn't heard from him, and I'm wondering, you know, is he going to call me? Am I going to call him? So I called him, and he said, well, we were invited someplace else. And I was just, like, so shocked. I was just, like, shocked and hurt and angry,
yes,
and
yes.
It was like, how could he dare
yes.
do that to me?
Yes. Yes.
And so I was unwilling at that time to just kind of, you know, like, let it go and allow him to do what he wanted to do.
That's it.
And, you know, I mean, have yes. the freedom, say, okay, it's just a night, Masako and I will go out for dinner someplace, it'll be even better, you know,
yeah,
whatever,
right.
you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, so I think I could do that now. I mean, it's not
right.
so important
sure.
to me that we,
sure.
you know, that I have that tradition.
Yes. But there was a loss. There was a sudden lack. There was a sudden disconnect.
Right.
And the promise was broken somehow.
Yeah, it was like...
The trust, the contract.
He was like a traitor.
He was like a traitor, you bet. Proved himself finally.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yeah. How amazing. How quickly all of that flooded in.
Yeah.
Good catch. That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
Exactly what we're talking about.
It's a little embarrassing, you know, to think that I was that way.
thank you for that.
In this room, you're embarrassed.
Well, you're speaking for all of us.
Thinking about it.
That's like what I meant.
Yeah.
Thinking about that,
yeah.
that I was that person is like,
yes.
geez, that's not pretty.
Yes, yes, yes. And now, looking at how much you were willing to take from him, which is Thanksgiving and the perfect performance like you've had for the previous year, expectations all set. Also look at how much you were honestly willing to give him.
Yeah, I wasn't willing to give him anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
The gift would have been saying, that's fine, enjoy yourself, have a good time with your friends,
yeah.
do it next year, no
yeah.
problem.
I got a bottle of wine for us, I'm bringing it to you to give to them.
Yeah.
I'll be right over.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then really
Andrew.
Be there. Really be there. That's where you were going, you had spoke for her. That's, you know, this is really showing up for the person that you've had, the relationship you've had for all those years. And that's not what the ego would like you to do. It won't afford it. But it's true, isn't it? You love this guy. You freaking love this guy. What? Yeah. Okay. But the point is not what you could have, would have, should have. That's back. That's really into the material world again. What I want to catch is this dynamic of your gifts and how much we're busting the ego in special relationships yet again. The promise of love, I hate to tell you this, it's not to be found in a body anywhere on this earth. Now look, you can do better and you can do worse, and you should do better every chance you get. But the default is worse. Life is going to be difficult. You are going to experience hard conversations, disappointments, mistaken things will be said, and you'll be held to them, even though you didn't actually mean it. Right? You know this about the world. But you're going to do better now, as Mark beautifully displayed. There is another way to look at these things. There is another way to look. And we are learning now to share more. That's what a holy relationship is. Versus special relationship is what the ego builds up in the movies and all the country songs are written about. That's a special relationship with a contract. Yeah. And the holy relationship is something with the exact same person in the same situations. You somehow get out of your selfish skin and you see through their eyes. Will you just tell me a little more about what you're going through so I can understand?
How beautiful and freeing and safe to be loved like that by someone.
Oh, yes.
To know, like, with your wife, to know that she's still okay in your eyes when you see her as she really is. As she's coming out and you see her more. Like,
yes.
What a gift. Because think of how scary it is to know you're breaking that contract.
Yeah.
and you don't want to say anything, and for you to be able to be your true self and have someone still love you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you hear what she just said?
I mean,
one of the things that I did a week or so later was to actually write a message of clarification. It was sort of for forgiveness for me, for my part in that.
Yes.
And to let that person know that I still felt the same way about them, no matter what, and how the relationship had changed.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was important to me because it's that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I feel free to love that person now without it being in the confines of that illusion of what they really, what I thought they were, as opposed to who they really are.
Yes. They don't have to change to make you happy.
Right. And I have sadness because it has changed and there won't be the same levels of intimacy and sharing. And that's hard.
That's hard. Yeah. Yeah. But the truth has arrived.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can we celebrate that?
Yeah.
Yes, the truth has arrived. And that's okay
but
when the truth
isn't
arrives.
Isn't the best thing though about what Sarah said and kind of what we're getting at is my friend, who I've known and loved for 40-some years, what she did is it going to destroy my love. Because love can't be destroyed as far as I'm concerned. I mean, my ex-husband kind of shocked me when he said he wanted a divorce and was having an affair. But when I think about him, I still love him. It's not that I like what he's doing all the time, but I love him.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that for me that's the big lesson here.
Yes.
Is that I can love no matter what anybody does to me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Luann. Because there's one of the awakenings that happens in the Course in Miracles around this brother and other is this interesting phrase, which is your brother is always right, comma, but his ego is always wrong.
And that's true about us too, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's an insight into the way things are. And you're seeing it by saying, well, I love them. I do not love what they do. And maybe people who have kids have really been through this. You love those kids. You hate what they're doing right now. But you love them completely.
My therapist calls that, you have an ideal, and then you have reality. And you have to say, I'm so sorry that there's this reality, but it's okay for you to still have an ideal.
Yes.
It's like,
your brother is always right.
Maybe it's the other way around, though. Maybe it's the love is the reality and the thinking.
No, the loving them in spite of what they're the reality is the reality.
Yeah, right.
As far as kids, I was late because I was listening to 10 minutes of nonsense from two teenagers.
Teenagers?
10 minutes of complete, absolute nonsense from two teenagers, back and forth.
Yes. Boy, I tell you, you're going to love it when you get into the early workbook lessons and you learn that they're never upset for the reason they think. You are not upset for the reason you think, though neither are they.
And sometimes they make total sense, but this was really one of those. They were really hitting on all cylinders tonight.
They're
anyway, sorry for coming late.
No problem.
Good reason.
Yeah, glad you made it.
So for me, I actually really struggle with meditation because I feel in my present situation, which is very similar to yours, but I'm the other person. When I try to even look at it, it's like the ego's on both sides of it. Like it's on, you know, the side of when things were good, and it's on this. It's like on the side of I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it. I get all wrapped up in like trying to understand.
Yes.
And my only moments of like clarity have been that it doesn't matter what went wrong or when or who, because it's kind of pointless, but But I was still struggling with this meditation because then it's like, I want this kind of answer. Like, I couldn't even figure out what this gift idea is that you were saying. But when you were talking, one of the first words in the meditation when you said, what was it like initially, my word was honest. There was actually an honestness to it. And as we were talking here, I just realized that, like, I'm not, at some point that was no longer there.
Beautiful. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's
yes.
Hard pill to swallow.
Hard pill to swallow. Yes. And as the dishonesty wove its way in and the selfishness arose stronger and stronger, as usually happens, then we lose sight of how much our participation is blocking our experience until finally the event happens that seems to be a surprise, but all along the way there are actually little clues, and the other person in there who said the pain, thank you. The other person, so difficult, they ended up breaking this whole dream as well, right? Something discontinuous on both sides here. This is how special relationships are and how they work. And we lose sight of our own participation.
But see, for me, it feels like by my taking of actions, like I can't figure out what's ego and what's... So tonight's helpful because now I have to think, what's honest? What's
beautiful.
Honest? But my
beautiful.
Ego is like,
yeah.
You know, you're having this really difficult dialogue with somebody and you don't, like, I don't want to be attacking. But I don't, it feels inherently attacking because the person's sad.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that's where I'm so like, is this just my ego? Like, you know, I'm trying not like just point things out, but there's also like a moment to be honest, and I'm just struggling
yeah.
with that. But
let me say this word, a couple words again for you, then. The truth is arriving, and it can be ugly because you have to sort it through words, and you have to sort it through time, you have to sort it through expectations, but the truth is arriving, and you just have to stick to this honesty concept and this trust concept now to go beyond the words. And the Holy Spirit will help you say the right thing, do the right thing, go to the right place, say the right thing, and to whom to say it when. There will not be a perfect plan. The trust must increase, and as you welcome the truth arriving, this is your new dedication, no matter what it looks like.
That's the key.
Yes.
No matter what it looks
okay.
like.
Yes.
It's not ever going to look like
yes.
I think
yes.
it ought to or should or would.
Yes.
It's
Make
just...
no mistake, people. Everybody here is living a nightmare to some extent. And what we're trying to do now is go up to sanity every once in a while with A Course in Miracles and cut off the ego's contribution to your nightmare one step at a time. And this workbook will bring you through. The first time it's a rough cut, and you'll just have some blessings right away because you don't fight as much. The second time through is going to be very much more personal because you'll think, oh my God, it's talking to me. Instead of helping me deal with my world, it's actually talking about me. I think I can get enlightened. Is it? And the third time through, a whole other experience. And I think there are like 7 or so levels of this darn thing. One day I'll have an academic treatise for you. But these are in this book. I mean, it's going to be just...
Might even read it.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have a brain desire to share?
Yeah.
Please.
So, first when you brought this subject up, I said, how could this have anything to do with my life? But I thought of something. Just recently, And I consider it a gift, because no matter how bad it is, there's always going to be good because you learn it.
Mm-hmm.
But so this lady where I read at, she didn't want me to. She's a real by the book Christian mm-hmm. person,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool. But she saw this picture of a Buddhist in my room. And that my mother sent me with her prayers, and It was, I made a mistake of telling her that's what it was. And then she came in and told me she can't have that because it's a Christian household. No. She can't have that in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what the f-?
There it is.
Are you insane? I said.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. But eventually, she woke me up. But anyway, I got over it.
Yeah.
And
there it is.
So, this is good for me.
Yes,
why?
Good.
Because it's a what they call a forgiveness opportunity.
Yes.
Where I can see the other person's point of view, and or just forgive them.
Yes.
Just for nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's nothing.
Yes.
And
they don't even hear this. You're forgiving your thoughts about them.
Right. It's a gift to me. Because of this realization.
Good.
And it's like practice.
Yes.
And if I can get this down, which I have.
Yes.
And still, I really appreciate this person, by the way. Mm. I've known her for years.
Ah.
And she's a really, really good person.
Mm.
And it makes me even like them more.
Wow. Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
it sure helps you tolerate them more.
Yeah. Well, this one, very easy to tolerate. Now, the husband, not so much.
Okay. Oh, the real teacher. The real teacher. Hey, everybody, turn in the back of the book, just real quick.
So anyway, I look at it as a gift.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And I'm still talking to you now as we go to the back of the book. Okay. And we go to page 12 or so in the Manual for Teachers. And hold on to what John just said. The Manual for Teachers, back of the book.
Yeah.
Page what?
Page 12, maybe.
Tolerance.
This is an interesting paragraph.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it great we finally found an interesting paragraph in this book?
Yeah, there's only one.
You had to go all the way back. How many pages we through to get to there?
This is the one that talks to me the most, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then you should read it. Go ahead.
God's teachers do not judge. To judge is to be dishonest, or to judge is to assume a position you do not have. Judgment without self-deception is impossible. Judgment implies that you have been deceived in your brothers. How then could you not have been deceived in yourself? Judgment implies a lack of trust, and trust remains the bedrock of the teacher of God's whole thought system. Let this be lost and all his learning goes. Without judgment are all things equally acceptable, for who could judge otherwise? Without judgment are all men brothers, for who is they who stands apart? Judgment destroys honesty and shatters trust. No teachers of God can judge and hope to learn.
Yes.
And that's the hard part. I really want to learn, and I can't stop myself from judging.
It seems like that's the way to learn, is to make these good, harsh decisions, cut out the bad ones, keep the good ones. Which is fine. The problem is that with the judging, we're actually putting a decision on somebody as unworthy. We're making them wrong. Not different. Different's okay. In fact, it's required. Wrong. That's suffering.
And subtly wrong too. Covertly wrong as well when we don't admit it to ourselves.
Yes.
That's where we
don't admit it to ourselves. Mark beautifully did. He's like, wow, he woke himself up. He says, you know what? That was totally unnecessary. Painful as hell, uncomfortable. And it didn't like that. But then that's how we wake up from things. That you beautifully described in Mark's situation. He had a situation just rocked his world. It was wrong, it's insensitive, incomplete. Then, even if it was only just right now, tonight, doesn't matter, he had a shift in perception about what actually happened. That's a miracle. A shift in perception about what he was witnessing is a miracle. A shift in perception. You know what? The guy's got a wife and they've got other places to go, and he felt pulled to another place. That's all. Nothing to do with Mark. Shift in perception occurred. And Mark says, oh, you know what? That's what happened. Second is forgiveness. Even if it happened right now, sitting in that chair, doesn't matter. He let go. You could feel his distance from that angst because that's the release of forgiveness. Now, legitimately, not lying, not trying to be good, he actually said, I don't need to angst over something that had no meaning. That's forgiveness. It's the release based on the shift in perception. The release. And then he breathes easy and he says, I'm different now. He is different now. That's the holy instant. Recognizing the truth of the healing of his mind from that damned ego pattern that would have it stay the way it was for 25 years. Thank you. Cecily.
So, yeah, this is a complicated topic, but it's one that I've given a lot of thought to because I have a difficult relationship with my teenage daughter. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is that I have, like we're talking about, an expectation of how she should be or how she should act. And so I was always judging her against that vision and expectation that I had established. And I told myself that I wasn't judging her, but that it was because I loved her. Mm-hmm. I loved her so much that I wanted her to act in a way that was going to make her life better. Mm-hmm. Because if she acted these ways, she would get better things. Mm-hmm. But really, it was attacking her because it's telling her that how she is isn't okay. Yes. And that she needs to be a different way. Mm-hmm. And how I've started working on it and what's been helping me slowly start to dislodge this really ingrained pattern is the really early lessons that I don't know what anything means. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what anything is for.
Yes.
Because what I'm saying when I make a design of how somebody should be to be worthwhile or good is I'm playing God. And I am not a very good God because it doesn't work out so well. Mm-hmm. And so who am I to say how somebody should be or act?
Yes.
And that if she does that, that's going to be in her best interest. Maybe it will be totally not in her best interest. Maybe it'll cause... And so I realized... Like, I have to take my hands off because, and I don't have to be scared because I don't know what anything means.
You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know what it's for.
I don't know.
So, how could you know what to do with it?
Exactly.
Right, busted.
Yeah.
Busted the ego and busted the world.
Yeah. And before I realized that I didn't know what anything means and I didn't know what anything was for,
yes.
I felt like it was my responsibility to tell her how she should be and what she should do, and that I was being neglectful if I wasn't doing that. Mm-hmm. And now I realize it's like the complete opposite of what I thought.
Wow, complete opposite. Now you know you're dealing with healing the ego when you say the word opposite.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right.
And the and I where I have peace around this is that I don't know what anything means. And I don't know what anything is for.
Yes.
And those statements give me such profound peace.
Yes.
And I don't even want to think about it too much. I don't want to question why or anything.
And now with that not knowing, that willingness to not know, one who does know can whisper in your ear. Good night, Marcia.
Good night, Marcia.
Only when the teacup is not full can anything be added. Only when the ego is not in charge can you hear the Holy Spirit. And this is how we let go of the plan the ego set up for the perfect mothering of that kid. I don't even know what this is actually for. I don't even know what's really going on. Yes. The freedom you're feeling is the Holy Spirit hugging you. It's actually a holy instant, because the reason why you can say what you said and feel good about it is because a miracle, which is a shift in perception about the situation with your daughter, is in place. and an act of forgiveness occurred, which when you decided not to do this stringent thing that blows up and just makes the relationship more difficult. That's forgiveness, to not do that. Mm. It's based on freedom. Mm-hmm. And the holy instant is what you're looking at on her face right now. If she wishes, she doesn't want to hex it.
No, I don't.
All right, now, this is, we're talking about here is opening your mind to tolerance, that love is tolerant. Love is tolerant. Turns out, if you have this, it's like a superpower. It's really tough when things aren't the way you want them to be, like you want the Buddha in your room. What's wrong with the Buddha? My mom sent it to me. My dear mom sent it to me. And you don't want that, right? Okay, now, let's look at how the Holy Spirit looks at this real quick. Still talking about tolerance now. Jump into the workbook, page 160, I guess 167. Yeah.
Long story short, I took the picture out of there.
Oh.
And put it in my car.
Okay.
wasn't my first reaction, but I think maybe because of my efforts with this book, I think I reacted in the right way.
Nice. Yeah, but don't tell her.
Yeah.
Mom's not in the house. I'm sure she's not gonna. I'm not gonna go where.
Well, he doesn't park in the driveway either.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
The car's on the public street. Yeah. Good job.
But that was my point. Is it was an instructive situation.
Yes.
I appreciate.
Yes.
You know. It's
yes.
For my own growth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tolerance.
Right.
Instead of a fight.
Right. It's mm-hmm. like I could very easily say whatever. I
easily. Control. Oh my God, you'd have half of Santa Cruz, 90% of Santa Cruz backing you up. All right.
Good.
167, and we're just going to look at paragraph 8 and 9.
Lesson 95.
That's right. Page 167 in the workbook.
Oh.
Page 167 in the workbook. So you got to go like 3/4 of the way through the book, maybe.
Chapter 9?
Well, we're in the workbook, actually.
In the workbook.
You're going to go 500 pages to the right.
The middle.
Maybe 600. 600. It's a whole handful of paper. No, that's not a fingerful. A handful. Yeah. I know. It's tough. There's so many pages and so many books. I know. Are you ready to read?
Sure.
Okay, give us paragraph
8.
Ocho.
All right. The Holy Spirit is not delayed in His teaching by your mistakes. They can be held back only by your unwillingness to let them go. Let us therefore be determined, particularly for the next week or so, to be willing to forgive ourselves for our lapses in diligence and our failures to follow the instructions for practicing the day's idea. This tolerance for weakness will enable us to overlook it, rather than give it power to delay our learning.
Would you read that sentence again, just for emphasis?
Sure. This tolerance for weakness will enable us to overlook it, rather than give it power to delay our learning.
Because then you would argue with yourself for failing over and over again and not get anywhere. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't this gracious? Please continue, Sarah.
Not
just about arguing with you would be putting yourself down so much you couldn't go any further.
That's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. So I've decided that I don't like the word weakness. I wrote in here making mistakes.
Yeah.
Just make mistakes. That's all it is.
Yeah. Please continue.
If we give it power to do this, we are regarding it as strength and are confusing strength with weakness.
Woo! So this is very practical on how to move through your old habits. Mm-hmm. As we start reaching for being more tolerant, reaching for being a little more understanding, reaching for being understanding, patient. There'll be mistakes along the way. You're going to F it up, David. But don't give it any more strength than just a mistake. Very good. Okay. Lisa, you sleep. You want to read?
I'm not asleep, but I find it hard to read in this light.
Well, just, there is one more light.
I can read it, but...
Mark, can you crank that light on there for her?
Which page then?
167.
All the way, baby. Don't hold back those lumens.
Yeah.
Page 167 in the workbook.
Yeah, the workbook. Yep. There you go. Almost there.
That's a 95.
Andrew, I'm still a little confused by the last sentence.
Sure.
So I understand the sentence before it, the tolerance for weakness will still overlook it rather than give it power to delay our learning.
Yes.
If we give it
dark,
what's it?
If we give the weakness, the mistake, power.
Yeah.
If we do this, if we give power to this, we're regarding the mistake as strength. You're feeding the ego and confusing strength with weakness. The weakness is weak. A mistake is a mistake. A failure to forgive when you've been practicing forgiveness is only a mistake. You are healing. You are loving. You've said an unloving thing, and your example was perfect. You know, you just coughed out right in the middle of, "That's criminal, woman!" Well, I didn't really mean it.
Okay, so the tolerance for weakness will enable us to overlook it, meaning that you tolerate the weakness.
Yes.
And you basically say, okay, I'm going to let that slide.
Yeah, you tolerating weakness is essential to shit happens.
Right.
It does.
And instead of saying that you screwed up.
Yes.
And, so
and then you screwed up and you are screwed up. Go ahead.
Rather than give it power.
Yes.
Meaning saying to yourself that you made a mistake and it's like a fatal mistake or something.
And because you screwed up, you are a screw up.
Yeah, and you are a screw
up. And you don't deserve to succeed or to heal.
Go ahead. Okay. So rather than say that, you say to yourself, I'm going to continue. I'm going to go on.
That's right.
All right. So then if you give it power, So this is like
if you give the mistake, the fact that you screwed up,
yeah,
any power.
Okay.
The fact that you spoke your mind and called your wife a criminal potentially.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And got stuck on that.
And you keep.
It got stuck on that, and
so
kept,
you keep that going.
Instead of letting
it, don't make that.
Yeah,
don't give it
power.
Don't
make it
real.
Don't make it real.
Okay.
Don't make it the truth.
So okay, right? I got it.
Yeah. Because if you do, you are a stinker. You don't deserve to be healed.
Right.
You just go down the staircase.
There's that saying.
Do you go down the staircase? Yes.
There's that saying, you make a mistake, but you are not a mistake.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's really well said. That's right. You were not the mistake you made. Very good. Beautiful. Yep. Good. Okay. Are we ready for 9?
Okay. When you fail to comply with the requirements of this course, you have merely made a mistake. This calls for correction and for nothing else. To allow a mistake to continue is to make additional mistakes based on the first and reinforcing it. Uh-huh. It is this process that must be laid aside, for it is but another way in which you would defend illusions against the truth.
Yeah, that's it. This is very, very practical. And when it comes to things like personal tolerance for some unreasonable request or a situation that happened out of the blue after all these Thanksgivings and then this, or 45 years, and what? You think I betrayed you? I kidding you. Now you're swearing about her. Now you're painting her all sorts of ugly words after 45 years. No?
Didn't go
that way?
No, I made it about me.
Oh, you owned it.
So yeah. I have a persecution thing that I deal with in my life where I'm the reason why everything goes wrong.
Oh, okay, good.
So
good.
This whole thing that I am not the mistakes that I made is very powerful.
Perfect. Yeah, you took the other side of this coin. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, this is key for the book. Because if you carry these things with you, if you read this paragraph, it says, learn this right now, because if you don't, you're going to take it into the next pages and blow it.
And tomorrow in your life and blow it.
So what this...
So you better...
You better pay attention. Yeah.
That's right.
And then
it's going to ruin the whole rest of the book for you.
And you know what? It doesn't mention it again. Yeah, it just goes on. And that's why I think it's so important we meet here.
That's so we created time, right? Yeah. So we can keep doing it.
Right.
So this is talking about forgiving yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through tolerance.
The only one who can forgive yourself is you.
Otherwise, you're stuck.
Otherwise, you're stuck continuing this pattern.
And it never really happened.
Yeah, right.
That's still really hard to
guess. That's just insulting, isn't it?
It never really happened.
God.
But it was
how many
this?
Years did you just continue to boil in your mind about this thing that never... Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, never really.
It never actually happened.
So, yeah, because you're telling yourself a story about something that's not true. You're elevating something to the point of it being a thing when it's nothing.
Yes. Filling in details, filling in contracts that were never signed or written or even discussed. But it was sort of there. I mean, you knew what I meant. You knew how I felt about you. You knew I expected this.
You're elevating the ego. It's what you're
how
doing.
How could you ever do that?
Ever! What's your... No! That's a pencil. Yes, very good. Excellent. You got it. Okay, we're a little short on time. So let's run to page 426, which is tonight's reading.
Hey, so happy we're so far. Now I'm behind.
I know, aren't you? We're speeding up here. 426 in the text. About a third of the way into the book. And let's look at this paragraph in context of what we've been discussing so far. Paragraph 1. Actually, we're beginning this section, so we get to read the whole section.
Okay.
So, Brother John, would you begin for us paragraph 1?
We did that last time.
But did we read through the whole thing?
I think we read all of the vision of holiness.
Did we read it? Well, let's read it again.
Okay.
Brother John, paragraph 1.
The gift of lilies.
Yes.
Look upon all the trinkets made to hang upon the body, or to cover it, or for its use. See all the useless things made for its eyes to see. Think on the many offerings made for its pleasure, and remember all these were made to make seem lovely what you hate. Would you employ this hated thing, to draw your brother to you, and to attract his body's eyes? Learn you but offer him a crown of thorns, not recognizing it for what it is, and trying to justify your own interpretation of its value by his acceptance. Yet still the gift proclaims his worthlessness to you, as his acceptance and delight acknowledges the lack of value he places on himself. Hardcore.
That is just hardcore in your face.
Will you explain it a little bit?
I'll explain it a lot. Okay. Yeah, we'll come back around. But yeah, this is rehearsing a bit of chapter 16 of Special Relationship. It's really fun stuff for me. Okay. Paragraph 2. Gifts are not made through bodies, if they be truly given and received. For bodies can neither offer nor accept, hold out nor take. Only the mind can value, and only the mind decides on what it would receive and give. And every gift it offers depends on what it wants. It will adorn its chosen home most carefully, making it ready to receive the gifts it wants by offering them to those who come unto its chosen home, or those it would attract to it. And there they will exchange their gifts and offerings and receiving what their minds judge to be worthy of them. We'll discuss that also. We'll have to get into that. Yeah, number 3.
Each gift is an evaluation of the receiver and the giver.
Ooh, read that again slowly for emphasis.
Each gift is an evaluation of the receiver and the giver.
And the giver. Mm-hmm.
No one but sees his chosen home as an altar to himself.
Mm-hmm.
No one but seeks to draw to it the worshippers of what he placed upon it, making it worthy of their devotion.
Ooh.
And each has set a light upon his altar, that they may see what he has placed upon it and take it for their own. Here is the value that you lay upon your brother and on yourself. There is your gift to both, your judgment on the Son of God for what he is. Forget not that it is your Savior to whom the gift is offered. Offer him thorns, and you are crucified. offer him lilies, and it is yourself you free. Mm.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's how it is.
26.
Excellent.
The bottom.
Number three?
Number four.
Four, okay. I have a great need for lilies, for the Son of God has not forgiven me.
Yeah, that's Jesus talking.
And can I offer him forgiveness when he offers thorns to me? For he who offers thorns to anyone is against me still, and whose whole is without him. Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven, and you may look upon the Son of God as whole. But look, you first upon the altar in your chosen home. See what you have laid upon it to offer me. If they be thorns whose points gleam sharply in the blood-red light, the body is your chosen home, and it is separation that you offer me. And yet, the thorns are gone. Look you still closer at him now, and you will see your altar is no longer what it was.
There's a lot of symbolism going on here in the big picture. Michael?
You look still.
We need we would need actually a weekend seminar on that last paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna
have to read it a few times really.
Yeah, well it's a huge plea and a perspective of one who sees from the outside of the dream and knows the love lost in your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is a big, I mean, there's a lot going on here. I mean, that's why we have to meet and discuss this. I don't know. How else can you read? You just read that paragraph and move on? I don't get it. Right? I know. Yeah. Anyway, so let's go on to the next.
If you can read that paragraph and move on, it probably means you're not really into this whole thing.
Oh, man. I mean, that's why I go to other Course in Miracles meetings and they just read a whole chapter or a whole in a night and say, wow, that was a good meeting.
And they don't talk about it.
They don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just read through and maybe a few words here and there. And I go, wow, how can you possibly? So I'll thank you, everybody, again for putting up with the speed that we actually go here. But you're going to read the book. You know, we're actually going to see this book. You're actually going to feel what's in here in this meeting.
That's the only way to go, man.
Oh, man.
You bet.
We got a choir. We got the choir. We're singing to each other. We're the best choir, right?
Yeah, like the best stuff.
All the meetings are good. Any exposure, of course, is good, but I think ours is the best.
No judgment.
Yeah. It's this way or the highway.
And that's right. Yeah. All right, let's continue.
You look still with the body's eyes, and they can see but thorns. Yet you have asked for and received another sight. Those who accept the Holy Spirit's purpose as their own share, also as their own, share also his vision, and what enables him to see his purpose shine forth from every altar now is yours as well as his. He sees no strangers, only dearly loved and loving friends. He sees no thorns, but only lilies gleaming in the gentle glow of peace that shines on everything he looks upon and loves.
This Easter, look with different eyes upon your brother. You have forgiven me, and yet I cannot use your gifts of lilies while you see them not.
Mm-hmm.
Nor can you use what I have given unless you share it. The Holy Spirit's vision is no idle gift, no plaything to be tossed about a while and laid aside. Listen and hear this carefully, nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy you would pick up from time to time and play, and time to time and then put it by. Or if you do, so will it be to you.
There's a huge comment there. Anybody who's doing the workbook, you know, either you're actually doing it and drinking it in, or you're just reading it. And you know the difference because of how you feel. There is an elevating sense of lightening up as your mind moves into these higher awareness. And if you're just reading, it's just hard. And you're just trying. But if you're actually hearing, and you're actually letting the lessons work you, there's a sense of ease that comes about from doing the lessons. And this particular paragraph is pointing at how personal and how honest you have to get with yourself.
You have to like use it.
Yeah, trust it and use it. Yeah,
have to do it.
You have to actually do what it says.
Yeah.
Even if you disagree with it, just try it for a few minutes, see what happens. Because what we're talking about is you're elevating your awareness out of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
Like an alcoholic going one day sober just to see what happens. Things could be different. Trying not to fight with somebody for the first time.
So does materialism include looking at people as objects rather than human beings?
Yeah, I think we can have that. We can throw that on the pile.
The whole gist of Alcoholics Anonymous is this one sentence, nor can you use what I have given you unless you share it. I mean, that's exactly Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right? Yeah,
that is a spiritual program. I'm not a 12-stepper, but I've been to a bunch of those meetings, and I'll tell you folks, that is a spiritual program.
Well, that was the whole thing, is that no one could get sober until Bill said, sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
And share it. And that was the first thing that worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean
nothing
by sure?
No sanatorium worked, nothing worked.
Yeah.
Until he said,
sure.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Sharing
by
it? We're going to go ahead.
Teaching.
By sharing it.
They shared what it was like to stay sober one day.
Told it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. They shared their personal personal experience was shared with another.
One day.
At a time.
But happens.
But if I was to go up to the person at the where I check in at my my club, I have no personal relationship with that person, and said something like, boy, did I have a miracle today.
Yes.
Person would kind of look at me.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone.
Turns out, yeah.
But it wouldn't be like necessarily be a if I said that, it wouldn't necessarily be received.
Right. Here, it would be like walking into a store and making someone smile.
This is really important. It's really important.
All right. Yeah, I can see that.
That it wouldn't be received.
Contrast is this. You go into the gym and you say, I have the perfect workout for you. That will not be received for.
Okay, so that's so you're talking about.
I did this greatest workout in the gym today. Do you even know the machine exists? I gotta go, but I'm gonna come with you to see the stupid machine before I go. What machine? It's a gift.
So it's sharing the spirit, not necessarily the letter.
Sharing your experience.
Sharing yourself.
So sharing is sharing your personal experience, your personal awakening.
Yeah.
The strength that you personally got.
Got it.
See, nobody can comment on that. It's a gift, take it or leave it. But I'm giving it.
And when you give, it increases. It increases.
Yes.
And your experience of it grows. And that's where your strength...
They're very attractive.
Spiritual strength.
Yes, for you.
Mm. Right.
But it's very attractive. They're very contagious. When it's done as a true celebratory gift. And when these AA people, I mean, anybody, you get a chance to go to one of these meetings. Was it a speaker's meeting? Is that the one where somebody comes up and tells a story in the beginning?
Yeah.
And you're going to get to hear somebody speak about how their life was falling apart. And they couldn't keep their job. They're waking up with their face in the vomit. They were spending all their money. Their relationships were breaking up. And then somehow they stopped. And then they began to keep their job, put things back together, show up for their kids, you know, and all the while, they wanted a drink. They're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first one I listened to was Inner City Boston. And there were like 150, 200 people in this warehouse. And the guy walks up on stage and he's speaking to all these people. He's got tattoos on his face and things punched through his, anyway, a leather jacket, and this is a pretty rough inner city Boston guy. He was just there to share, and he said, I don't know what you guys think. You probably think, some of you, what I thought about God. That's what he started with, God. I was like, whoa. He says, I could give it two hoots about this made-up character in people's lives. He says, but when I stopped drinking and I found the support in this room, if you people willing to let me stumble through with the ugliness and getting and letting go of the lies, and people started to trust me again, and all I can tell you is my life turned around. He says, and this program says that there's a power greater than me.
Higher power.
Yeah. He says, I just looked for it.
Yeah. Huh? That was the room for him.
It was a room for him.
Yeah.
It's different for everybody. But this guy spoke about taking responsibility for his life and trusting in something other than him as actually loving him through whatever. I mean, it was just incredible. I was like, this is AA? Mm-hmm. It just blew my mind.
I guess, you know, so that's, you know, kind of archetypal sharing, where a person is standing in front of a bunch of people and they pour their heart out. What I'm talking about is what I was pointing to is how, and you already answered it, there's different levels of sharing. So you share by you can just share by expressing enthusiasm to somebody, or yes, smiling, as you were saying.
Yes, it is. Yes. So, by example, yeah, you bet.
My favorite thing is when I go avocado hunting and I find the perfect avocado, I announce it at the store. I found one. Perfect avocado. And I end up getting in conversations with people almost every single time. They come up and they go, what do you mean? And I say, this one, it's the perfect avocado. And someone actually weighs in. And they touch another one and they go, no, this one. It's really cool.
Nice. You're honest.
Yeah, honestly.
You can really share.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
All right, let's continue if we pull off this section. Who's up?
Not me.
It's your big chance, Kenny.
You're supposed to practice all week.
No, my paragraph's gone.
Oh.
I told him it would change, but...
What number was your paragraph?
One.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to read that again in a minute, so you'll be up.
We'll read that again.
You know, we restart. Yeah, Julie.
I don't know where we are anymore.
We're on 8.
Okay.
8, 7.
No, 7.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do 7.
Ooh. Whoa!
Yeah.
Holy no pressure.
You have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no foreigners, no strangers, or no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for undoing some of illusions that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit you have received, the Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to look upon the final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails of cruelty, the Son of God.
Crucify the Son of God.
I'll go with cruelty. Crucify cruel is pretty cruel.
It's pretty cruel. And then crown him King of Death.
Kenny!
I'm impressed.
Julie.
Your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. It has been carefully prepared for you and is ready to receive you now. Will you not see it with the body's... You will not see it with the body's eyes. Yet all you need, you have. Your home was called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear it.
Say that sentence again. It's a beautiful spiritual gift. Your home.
Your home has called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear it.
Yes.
You heard, but knew not how to look
nor where. And now you know. In you the knowledge lies, ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden. There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us. For in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven. The home we share in quietness and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together.
Beautiful. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? His innocence will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection, and shining from the holy altar within him where you laid the lilies of forgiveness.
Now remember, the holy brother we're talking about is the one who did this horrible, shouldn't have possibly said you did. That one will lead you. Please continue.
Let him be to you the savior from illusions, and look on him with the new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. We go beyond the veil of fear, lighting each other's way. The holiness that leads us is within us, as is our home. So will we find what we were meant to find by him who leads us.
This is the way to heaven and to the peace of Easter, in which we join in glad awareness that the Son of God is risen from the past and has awakened to the present. Now is he free, unlimited in his communion with all that is within him. Now are the lilies of his innocence untouched by guilt and perfectly protected from the cold chill of fear and withering blight of sin alike. Your gift has saved him from the thorns and nails, and his strong arm is freed to guide you safely through them and beyond. Walk with him now, rejoicing, for the Savior from illusions has come to greet you and lead you home with him.
Yeah, what a different job description. Now this SOB is the Savior to you, your Savior from the illusions that you were involved in. No better.
Huh? Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so.
I guess so.
I mean, in the end of the day, that's how it works. That's the one who was available to teach you this lesson. Without 45 years of love, you couldn't have seen this. Without all those years, you couldn't have seen this. These cheap avocado relationships don't go this deep. They're good, but they're not as deep as what you're getting now. Yeah. And that's just how it is, folks. Okay, let's continue.
Here is your Savior and your friend, released from crucifixion through your vision, and free to lead you now where he would be. He will not leave you nor forsake the Savior in his pain, and gladly will you and your brother walk the way of innocence together, singing as you behold the open door of heaven and recognize the home that called to you. Give joyously to your brother the freedom and the strength to lead you there. And come before his holy altar where the strength and freedom wait to offer and receive the bright awareness that leads you home. The lamp is lit in you for your brother, and by the hands that gave it to him shall you be led past fear to love.
So this is a beautiful summary of what we've been reading for weeks on seeing your brother differently. Who was your problem is your Savior. Miracles only deal with problems. They are not holy. They are not from God. Miracles are you correcting your mind about your problem. This is what it looks like. Will you offer thorns or lilies? You offer lilies, that problem is now your Savior. Okay, we have a couple of minutes. Let's turn back to paragraph one.
We have all the time in the world.
We have all the time there is. Who made up this time thing? Who keeps this illusion going? All right.
Oh, no, I thought we were going to have Kenny,
you all practice up on one, or are you just kidding about that?
No, I've been practicing.
Oh, man, lay it on us. We're getting two paragraphs out of you in one night.
Yes.
Yeah. Number one.
Gift the lilies.
Number one, gift the lilies.
4:26.
That's it.
Look upon all trinkets made to hang upon the body or to cover it or for its use. See all the useless things made for its eyes to see. Think on the many offerings made for its pleasure, and remember all these were made to make seem lovely what you hate. Would you employ this hatred thing to draw your brother to you and to affect his body's eyes? Learn you but offer him a crown of thorns, not recognizing it for what it is, and trying to justify your own interpretation of its value for his acceptance. Yet still the gift proclaims his worthlessness to you, and as his acceptance and delight acknowledges the lack of value he places on himself.
Okay, so that's pretty personal and in your face.
So that, does that mean if I offer him thorns, then he will take that as what he valued at?
As what he thinks he's worth.
Yeah, so you're not offering him anything that is really worth anything.
Yeah, you're insulting him, and you're trading something of little value for what you think is worth more. I mean.
And the lilies are love.
Yes, kindness, understanding, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's essentially that's right, Luann. And you know, really, Jesus is being very. You can take this literally as far as you and your body, and that somehow that is worth so much. Look at what you're actually offering him as you. As you start to awaken and understand that the world you see holds nothing that you want, as you start to awaken and see that this is all an attack on true love or true freedom, there is nothing of value you would offer somebody else with your presence, your body, or any particular thanksgiving. Or any particular evaluation of an avocado. Mr. Avocado Man is research. What we're calling out here, even though these things are fun, they're fun, and believe me, keep doing it. But you can only do it better now without any kind of judgment and fear and expectation. Life just gets better. But first, let's bust what we've been using life for really. Back to our meditation. Think about what you were actually willing to give and what you actually expected them to give first and maybe always. Gotta bust the ego on these gifts in the special relationships. So Jesus right here in some pretty direct words. Let's just skip to the last sentence. Yet still, the gift proclaims his worthlessness to you, because you're offering something of a very limited value to you. These are your thorns, but this is your evaluation of yourself. This is your limited self, your body. Very limited self. And his acceptance of this limited thing and his delight. Oh, I get to be with you? Your body? Let's go drinking together. Acknowledges the lack of value that he places on himself. It's code for The world you see holds nothing that you truly want. What do you see? You see bodies that start up, they grow, they eat, they feed, they get sick, they live a little longer, and then die. This is the world you see. Even Jesus died. It's pretty tough in the end.
So why are we here?
To use the body.
We're here for love. Mm-hmm. Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Why are we here?
But we are looking for love. No, there's only one thing. There's only one motivation for anything, Lisa.
Why are we even here?
There's only one motivation for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought. You want to see where it says? Well, she's asking. Turn to page 244, paragraph 10, real quick. 244.
In the text.
Thank you. 244. What happened? Lisa wants to know what happened. Why are we here? What's going on? Can somebody just tell me? Sure. Paragraph 10. You who prefer. Who's up to read?
Me, I guess.
Okay, lay it on us. Number 10.
You who prefer separation to sanity cannot obtain it in your right mind.
Hmm.
You are at peace until you ask for special favor.
Oh.
And God did not give it, for the request was alien to him, and you could not ask this of a father who truly loved his son. Therefore, you made of him an unloving father, demanding of him that only such a father could give. And the peace of God's son was shattered, for he no longer understood his father. He feared what he had made, but still more did he fear his real father, having attacked his own glorious equality with him.
In other words, Dad, I want to be different and separate and on my own. He said, what? Your name is Oneness, by the way, Kate. That's what I named you. And you want to be something else. What? You ask the one thing I can't give you. You don't love me! I'll go do it myself. And I'll do it better. But in order to do that, in order to break off the extension of God, you had to disconnect from love. Because love is oneness. Love is ultimate sharing. Not this, let me show you my avocado, which is really great. I hope you do that. It's a sharing that's beyond this world. And you had to stop doing that in order to have your own shot at it. No problem. This is not a sin. This is great. You should try. And then, at the prodigal son story, you've maybe read that in the Bible. When you come home, we're going to be really happy. We're going to celebrate. It's going to be great. But please do what you think you need to do. Let's see what happens. Love you. Let's go. This is what happened. Okay, who's up?
Cheryl?
Sarah.
Where are we still on?
Number 11.
Okay. In peace, he needed nothing and asked for nothing.
That's before this whole grand idea. Yeah.
In war, he demanded everything and found nothing.
Because what he did is disconnected himself from the source of everything. Mm. Left his father's farm where everything was provided. In fact, it was a good life. Left it all behind. And went off on his own. Please continue.
For how could the gentleness of love respond to his demands, except by departing in peace and returning to the Father?
Okay, and so gentleness of love, in this book you learn, the law of love, it gives and only gives. But now, what's been asked is, I want to take something away. I want to be separate from you and do my own thing. You know, that would make you so miserable, it's indescribable. And it's going to be a nightmare for you. In fact, it's impossible for me to give you because I am you.
And there's only me in the first place to give.
That's right. There's only you to be divided. Mm-hmm. But then you wouldn't be you. Don't you see? No, I want to try this. So you had to. Go ahead.
If the son did not wish to remain in peace, he could not remain at all. For a darkened mind cannot live in the light. And it must seek a place of darkness where it can believe it is where it is not.
Welcome to Earth.
God did not allow this to happen. Yet you demanded that it happen, and therefore believed that it was so.
Yes. Now, I don't want to end this on a depressing note, but read one more sentence, and then we're going to have to stop.
And we got
in paragraph 12, sentence 1.
To single out is to make alone, and thus make lonely.
And it just gets worse from there as you leave your comfortable home.
So I know when this, what I'm getting from this conversation we've been having is what we're having most of the trouble with is defenselessness. To be in defenselessness.
Yes.
That's freedom.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand that, haven't got that at that point here.
We've blocked the idea of defenselessness because we've introduced the idea of competition and lack and loss. That's more real now than sharing and love.
I notice when you see that defenselessness, that's like,
what were the other things?
Yes.
You don't need anything.
Yes. Yes.
I think what we lost by doing it was innocence.
What was the main section we were reading before we went to 244?
426. And the gift of lilies.
Yes, that's what I want.
And that's where we're going to be working. It's going to be some pretty interesting going because it's really high talk. It's really, really beautiful, beautiful talk about what's reaching across the gap to get you back into happiness. It's we're talking about healing your approach to the relationships.
Good. Hi, Julie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's really
coming
good.
Yeah,
stuck on the side of this.
You look really comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was she having dinner with you?
Here, I'll do like this.
Did you see her this evening? Julie?
Yeah.
Did you see Misaka this evening? Oh, you did.
Okay. We're done.
Okay. Take a deep breath. Recognize that you give all the time, whether you intend to or not, you are always giving a gift. And that gift is the extension of you. Whether you do it with words or you do it in silence, it doesn't matter. Know that you are always giving. The section we're embarking on now is that you have a choice of what you give. You have a choice of your gift. When it comes from your heart, you can say the exact wrong words and the other person gets it okay. Stumbling way through, when it comes from your heart, they get the gift that you gave of joining, of sharing. You're always giving. When you give any other gift than kindness, sharing, you're looking for an ego battle and you're going to get it. Even if the other person didn't hear you, you heard you. And you'll contemplate about what that meant to them, even though they didn't even hear you. So, what we're going to be studying is a call to your gift.
The thing that I get from that is, if I want to give a gift, why not give what they want, which is love?
And you know that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, amen. Good work, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the woman who came.
Assert my stuff. It's like you were having your moment.